Welcome to Heavens Declare. I'm Jim Burr. We're back with the program today to talk about science in the classroom. The cry that we hear all the time, we want science in the classroom. We don't want creation. We don't want intelligent design. We want science. We want something we can test, something falsifiable. And your creation, your intelligent design is not testable. Folks, I want to show you how testable it is. In fact, we are going to compare some testing in evolutionary theory and the Bible. And I would suggest to you that the Bible could be more testable than science, because science is changing. Science is constantly changing. New discoveries. You know, this new discovery now violates all standard physics. So what we tested, 10 years ago now is obsolete. And I've been collecting statements for, 25, 30 years, and putting them together, this is, the universe was knocked on its head when we discovered it was accelerating in expansion, Those kind of statements, it was just, I have a wealth of those statements. And I suppose that we got to cut a little slack for the writers and the editors, they want to get people to read their articles, so they come up with this spectacular headlines. But it's great fodder for creationists, because how things change. And their tests, the stars are a long ways away. It's really hard to do any testing on the Big Bang. We can't test the Big Bang. They want something testable, something naturalistic and natural, how it came about, natural, without a creator. And so I don't want to offend anybody, but let's have some fun this next two sessions talking about science and the Bible. And today we could study the universe. In a statement in April 2006, an astronomy magazine said, "The universe continues to baffle the great minds of our age. 96% of the universe is unknowable. They can't know it because they can't see it. The actual part of what we see of the universe is, less than 5%. And it can't be seen. And we have all kinds of mysteries out there. We have antiparticles. And we know that in the process of their theory of the Big Bang, that we should have antiparticles. Matter would be particles, and antimatter destroys particles. And they see that in the colliders, the Hadron Collider, and some of those places, that they get particles and they get antiparticles. And yet here we are. We shouldn't be here, according to that. We have entangled particles, particles that seem to communicate with each other. It's called quantum physics, and it blows people's mind. It just doesn't make sense that it's as if every particle in the universe knows what's going on with every other particle. Then in the process of evolution, through the Miller and Urey experiment, they had created some amino acids using hydrogen, ammonia, methane, and what they got was 50% left-handed amino acids, 50% right-handed. That will not work. That'll kill you. That won't create life. In fact, just one right-handed amino acid will destroy anything. And so in this series, I'm going to show you one scripture you could get at least 10 doctoral degrees on, okay? If you want something you can test, we're going to give you some scripture you can test, and we're going to compare evolution and the Bible. And I'm going to show you how, in a number of cases, evolution just falls on its face. Our first subject for our class today is going to be dark matter. And I want to share some statements with you that astronomers have noticed that the pinwheel shapes of galaxies like our own they rotate so fast they would fly apart unless they contained extra mass, which would provide the extra gravity needed to hold these orbits together. So what they're saying is the galaxies are going so fast they should fly apart unless there's something we can't see. So they come up with dark matter. There must be dark matter. There's something we can't see here that's holding it all together. And it says, unseen matter seems needed to keep the clusters from flying apart. So they create dark matter. An article in the U.S. News says dark matter particles, which exist for certain only in the fertile minds of theoretical physicists. The only place we can see dark matter is in the fertile minds of physicists. It's much easier to think of dark matter, candidate, than to find it. In Colossians 2, verse 3, it says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, it says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or some translation would say, by Christ, by him, all things hold together. So when they're looking at the galaxies, they're going like, you know, we got all these problems. That the galaxy should be flying apart. They are now, each individual galaxy should be expanding. But not only that, the universe, galaxies seem, wherever we look, they seem to be moving away from us faster every day. And what causes that? Well, maybe it's a giant sucking sound. They come up with vacuum energy. They come up with dark energy, dark matter, all this stuff they create to try to make it work. But the Bible tells us in him all things hold together. Let's see, article in the U.S. News, I guess I read that one. The mystery of dark matter will remain. This is from another article from U.S. News, the mystery about space, and it says the mystery of dark matter will remain. Its origin is the million-dollar question in cosmology. Million-dollar question about dark matter. I'd like to show you an image of dark matter actually bends galaxies. And so if we have a mass in space, of something with a lot of matter, gravity can actually bend light. And in our first image coming up, you will see the effects of that. And you actually see galaxies bending like a lens would bend light. You see galaxies being bent in an arc there around the mass in the center. And then we have another image coming up, which is called the gravity grin. And you can see there, which looks like a smiley face. But you see how light has been bent in that circle around. According to Einstein's theory of relativity, space is bent, actually. Space is bent by gravity. And so we're going to have a class today. I don't want to offend anybody, but let's start talking about some of these things. Our first subject today is dark matter. Well, okay, we've got here's an image. They think they've found dark matter. The next image actually would show you what they think. This is dark matter, okay? maybe. And dark matter is invoked to explain gravitational effects upon visual matter. Dark energy is 70% of all the mass energy in the universe. Another 23% is dark matter, which leaves only 4% of visible matter, visible light. So our first class will be on dark matter. For that, we'll go to Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Let's ask Max Tegmark, a professor at MIT. MIT, one of the most prestigious institutes around. What does Max Tegmark say about dark matter? He says dark matter is a code word for our ignorance. Sorry, class, we didn't get very far there. He says, some people think it might be a reflection that we got gravity wrong again. Science wrong again? That's what Max Tegmark says. Dark energy, question for the class is, what do we know for sure about dark energy? Dark energy's precise nature is the most profound puzzle that physicists are facing today. Dark energy, which we don't know if it's there, but this is what was created to explain how we see the universe working. Dark energy's precise nature is the most profound puzzle that physicists are facing today. And that was in Sky and Telescope, page 22, June 2010. World-famous astrophysicist says dark energy is something we have no clue as to what's causing it. It doesn't fit any of our current physics theories. This is from Perlmutter in the Lawrence Berkeley. Says dark energy is something we have no clue as to what is causing it. It doesn't fit any of our current theories, and they have to develop new approaches to explain it, said Perlmutter, astrophysicist from Berkeley. Well, sorry, class, we're not getting too far today, I guess, in being able to test dark energy, dark matter, and learn all we can learn about the universe that's 96% unknowable. It can't be known. It changes. Our books are obsolete, you know, every short time. So in class today, we're going to talk about the accelerating universe. We know now that the universe is expanding and accelerating. And Sky and Telescope magazine in July of 2001 says that the accelerating universe violates all standard physics. So if you want something you can test, you have no way of testing that. In astronomy, an article in astronomy says that the accelerating universe threw scientists for a loop. And that was actually from the astronomy website, Science, How Stuff Works. Discoveries that the universe expansion was accelerating through the scientist community in disarray. So here it threw it for a loop, it threw them for disarray, and yet we want something solid we can test, okay? Contrary to all expectations, the expansion of the universe actually seems to be significantly speeding up. This may rescue the Big Bang theory from being completely untenable, okay? Job 9, verse 8 says that he alone stretched out the heavens. Science says dark matter, dark energy, vacuum energy. The Bible says he alone has done it. He stretched, in Isaiah 40, 22, he stretched out the heavens like a canopy. He spread them out like a tent to live in. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. And again, in Psalm 104, verse 2. And we know that our Bible says 17 times that God stretches out the heavens. He spreads them out, stretches out, seems to be what science sees happening. Okay, class, our question for today is, what do we know for sure about the universe? Well, we mentioned that 96% of the universe is unknowable. 96% of the universe can't be seen. We can't see this dark matter. Job 9, in Colossians 2, verse 3, it says, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His ways are past finding out, it says in Job 9, 9. And there was an article in the God Particle, page 157, that I thought was kind of interesting, and it said there that the brain may never be prepared for the mysteries of quantum physics. So I mentioned that a little bit, the fact that the universe seems, every atom in the universe seems to be tied with other atoms and seem to know what's going on. And so in this book, The God Particle, it says, the brain may never be prepared for the mysteries of quantum physics. It's entanglement. It needs to evolve more. Your brain needs to evolve more before it can be prepared for quantum mechanics. Okay, they claim the Big Bang evolution is good established science. Is the Big Bang good? No, folks, the Big Bang is not good established science. I can show you 3,000 scientists who signed a statement saying we got problems with the Big Bang. There was two conferences, one held in Portugal, one held here in the States, called a crisis in cosmology. A crisis. The 30 professors, PhDs, have written papers showing the problems with the Big Bang. And like I was George Smoot said, you know, typically we don't jump to something new we don't leave something until we got something to jump to. And right now we have, the Big Bang is all we have, okay? Another article that said, how can scientists keep a straight face? Crisis in cosmology. There was six profound questions in the that was an article actually in Sky and Telescope magazine. How can astronomers keep a straight face? They have, in that case, they had five profound questions. that they cannot answer, science cannot answer, and yet they present it to the public as an idea. The Big Bang is a fact, it's solid, testable, proven science, and they're arguing over five major areas of that. We had an article in Scientific America, a special issue of Scientific America, on the cosmic life cycle. They said in there that the Big Bang has no explanation apart from dumb luck on how the universe was created. In case you join us late, we're talking about science in the classroom because the cry we hear throughout the land is we want science, we want something we can test. And we're showing how science is constantly changing, books are constantly becoming rewritten, they're out of date, and yet your Bible held true. And we're going to show you some statements from the Bible that will show you how it has held statements that are scientifically accurate today. The problem with astronomy and cosmology is that new discoveries are constantly being made and old theories and books become obsolete, but not so with the Bible. I was watching NOVA, and this telecast, it was saying that our large telescopes are changing everything. Our large telescopes are changing everything we thought we knew about the universe. So once again, the cry is, we want science, something we can test, and here they're saying these large telescopes are changing everything. So you see, if you're going to test it, it's going to constantly be changing. So how much do we know? I know we need to cut these writers some slack. These articles, they want people to read the article, so we've got to cut them some slack. The expansion of the universe has not been slowing down due to gravity. You'd think that as the universe is expanding, eventually gravity, because everything in the universe is affected by, you know, the gravity of everything else, so it would expand and expand and expand. Pretty soon, it would stop expanding and come back and do like a big crunch. But it is not. It seems to be going faster. For the Lord, it is the Lord that says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made it, made the earth. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but He formed it to be inhabited. There's one scripture you could get 10 doctors on. The Bible says He created the earth. He did not make it in vain. He created it to be inhabited. And it's called the anthropic principle, and we could give you 100 to maybe 200 different things about our earth that show it was carefully designed for us. It has all these parameters. They're called constants. Constants, things that have to remain constant. We're going to get into that in the next program and go over some of those constants. If they varied even just the slightest amount, you know, we would not exist here. But the earth, the position of the earth, the location of the earth, the rotation of the earth. Just think if the rotation was changed, how that would affect us. If the sun, if it took 12 hours to rotate, you know, we would just cook to death and freeze. If it went, you know, every 48 hours, it would never heat enough and cool enough. The position to the sun, the radiation, the magnetic field protects us from radiation from the sun. The moon keeps the air, ocean aerated. We see so many things about the earth, the albedo, the amount of reflectivity from the earth, from the solar wind, you know, the sun, you know, is very critical. So many, many things. If you want to test something, you can test that. The fact that this earth looks like it was created for us, the Bible says it was, that it was not created in vain. It was created for man. Another article I was reading says, a strange, repulsive force of dark energy pervades every nook and cranny of the universe. A team of scientists said it also has astrophysicists' heads spinning. Their heads are spinning, okay? This dark energy. And then they go on, as if the mysteries of dark energy and dark matter were not enough, another baffling cosmic puzzle has been discovered. Patches of matter in the universe seem to be moving at very high speeds and in a uniform direction that can't be explained by any other known gravitational force. In the observable universe, astronomers are calling the phenomena dark flow or a river of galaxies. The stuff that is pulling this matter must be outside the observable universe, researchers concluded. The dark flow is the latest in a long line of phenomena that has threatened to rewrite the textbooks. Dark flow. We've been saying, are there more multiverses? Are there many universes? Is it just this universe that we can see? Are there other universes? Of course, we don't know. Nobody knows. We can't see beyond that farthest galaxy. The Bible does say that the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. The Bible talks about the first heaven, which is the firmament. In Genesis 1, verse 8, the firmament God called heaven. That's the sky, and the focus of Genesis 1 is the earth, the earth, the earth. 21 times the earth. But he interprets the heavens. And in this creation account, I'm talking about the firmament. And so it threatens this new discovery. So is there other universe, the first heaven, the second heaven, third heaven? The Bible talks about the heaven of heavens. It says the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. He is beyond the heaven of heavens. Does that mean there are more than one universe, many universes? We don't know. But they're suggesting in this article on dark flow, if you look up dark flow, they think maybe there's another universe that's pulling this matter. And this brand new dark flow is the latest, I love this, is the latest in a long line of phenomena that have threatened to rewrite the textbooks. No, we want something, we want real science, something we can test. It was changing constantly, but not your Bible. You know, the Bible says there was a flood. You can test that. We can go to the top of every mountain and you can see all kinds of shells and water life and things like that. We look at, I'm going to be bringing in the next series, I'm going to show you fossil fish. I've got a block of fossil fish as flat as a piece of paper. And in this block, you can look on the sides and you'll see another fish, another fish, another fish all the way around. They're flat as a piece of paper. How do you get a fossil fish? You throw a fish on the beach, what's going to happen? It'll be gone in 2 days. The birds are going to come and eat it and the worms, and it'll be nothing but bones in 2 days. How do you get a fossil fish? You got to cover it up. You got to flatten it out with dirt, like in the flood where the fountains of the deep opened up and buried everything. So we see evidence for a flood. The Bible says there was a flood. Evolution says everything's just going to happen, okay? We have 10 million, maybe 15 million species on Earth. Everything came from this little microorganism. They cannot tell you how that came, how the first life. They cannot tell you how first life came to be. And they say, oh, but evolution doesn't have to do with the abiogenesis, the origin of life. It has to do with the evolution of life, how it has evolved through copying mutations in the DNA and the letter codes. And then through natural selection, it builds on little beneficial mutations. Please give me some beneficial mutations. I would like to see some beneficial mutations. And they go like, well, bacteria became immune to penicillin or whatever. They have these little tiny things. And yes, there is change. There definitely is change. You can take a couple dogs and you can breed them and end up with 100 different varieties of dog. In that gene pool is instructions to make short hair, long hair, cute little dogs, big dogs, and you end up with Great Danes and all sorts of things. But there's no information there to get from an amoeba to an elephant, or amoeba to a bat, or a hummingbird, or a mango, you see. So evolution says, millions of times it just happens, so let's test evolution, let's test the Bible, okay? Evolution just happens, it just happens. Okay, so give me an egg from a cat and a sperm from a dog. I've got everything for life. I got DNA, I got RNA, I got chromosomes, I got mitochondria, I got the letter codes in the DNA. I got everything for life, an egg and a sperm. Evolution just happens millions and millions of times from, you know, it's cross species if evolution. But if that works, if cross-species evolution works, then I have everything for life, an egg and a sperm, egg from a cat, a sperm from a dog, it will not work. And it's because your Bible says, you want something you can test, your Bible says they reproduce after their kind. It will not work. The Bible says it won't work. Evolution says it'll work. Well, test it. You want to test evolution? Test it. It will not work. The Bible had it right all along. The Bible has come through, even though Galileo said, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us how the heavens go. The Bible tells us how to go to heaven. And yet, over and over again, I see the Bible writers were prevented from following the errors of the time. When the errors of the time were, we know there's 6,000 stars in the sky before the telescope. Okay, and Jeremiah 33, 22, Genesis 22, Hebrews 11 says, the stars are like sands of the seashore, innumerable. You cannot count. Can you count the sand? Can you count the sands in a bucket of sand, you see? And so the Bible says, the sands of the seashore are innumerable like the stars of heaven. Well, scientists today are quoting Jeremiah. 3,000 years ago, Jeremiah wrote it. Scientists today say that they think if you took all the sand on all the beaches on Earth, that they would be roughly equivalent to all the stars in the known universe. Yes, our sun is part of the Milky Way galaxy. We have 100 billion, maybe 200 billion, depending on which book you read. And these stars are going around the galaxy. Stars in the center are just screaming around. Every 20 years, they're just screaming around. But stars on the outer edge may take 100 million years for them to go around because they're so far out trying to catch up with the stars in the center. And so the Bible, you know, had it correct when it says that stars are innumerable, and we believe there's as many galaxies out there as there are stars in our galaxy. We think, depending on which book you read, 100, maybe 200. Some books may tell you there's 300 billion in our Milky Way galaxy, and there are that many galaxies, they believe, as many as there are stars in our galaxy. Well, on these programs, our time just slips away. And we're happy that you're watching our program on Heavens Declare. My name is Jim Burr. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And my appeal is to you. The Bible says that you can seek Him and find Him if you search for Him. Folks, search for Him with all your heart, because the Bible says He will not cast you away, and that you can find Him if you search for Him with all your heart. I want to thank you again for watching Heavens Declare. Thank you.